ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. That's something. God dealing with him as a very, very young man. The Lord had called the child. So verse 9 says, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house when I began, and I will also make an end." Now, this is just a connection to what we read in the previous chapter. The man of God came to Eli and told him, because of the way he handled his boys with the sin that was going on in the church, the way he handled those boys, he let them just kind of get away with anything. And so the man of God told him that he wouldn't be, his lineage would not be in that priest office. They was going to lose that, and they lost it during the time of Solomon's, during his reign. So this is just a connection. God actually giving the same exact prophecy, but now he's telling it to Samuel. All right, so this is a confirmation coming to the prophet Samuel. And can you imagine, this is his first prophecy? And the prophecy is actually against the one that he is being trained by. This ain't an easy, but here's the thing. This is why God had to get a hold of him while he was young. Because had he been older, he might have reasoned that thing out. But being young, he's innocent, and it's just what God told me, right? So let's follow it here. Verse 12, "And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning this house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." All right. And goes on and says, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Now, the reason that Eli can actually, state that it is the Lord, because of the way Samuel kept coming to him. He knew God was dealing with this boy. He knew it. God allowed that to happen, so he knew it was God speaking through this boy. He wasn't making this up, you know. So here he's trying to sleep, and he's coming and saying, "You called me. I didn't call you, son. You know, just go lay down." Comes back, "Surely you did call me, son. I didn't call you. Just go lay down. Maybe you're having a bad dream." Comes back a third, "Look, I know you're calling me. I keep hearing you calling me. What do you need?" Like, "Look, okay, maybe it's the Lord calling you. And just say this the next time you call. Say, 'Here am I.'" And we were talking about that on Sunday. When you're hearing a call from the Lord, we got a couple things here. Oftentimes people have a hard time distinguishing whether it's a call from the Lord, right? And then once they get a call from the Lord, they don't know how to surrender to that call. We have a couple things happening in this day, and I've said this often, and you know I repeat, if a person is running trying to do something, most likely it's not a call from God. If you're running to try to get to it, if you got an Adonijah anointing or an Absalom anointing, you know, Absalom anointing, like, boy, if they just came to me, I would do this and I would do that. And if I had the opportunity, you know, that type of anointing, when you get there, you wouldn't know what to do with it. You mess up everything. Right, but when you, Brother Branham says, use the one that's running from it. That's the one that God is actually calling, you know, to get the job done. And not only just the one running from it. Oftentimes, you can see in people's character certain things that God might be calling them to. Amen. Who was that come up here the other night? And Brother Simba was saying. Him and his wife just at home talking about Brother Troy. And like, this man was, if he wasn't a deacon, he'd be doing deacon things because he just looked like, act like, talk like deacons. that's something that's in a person from birth, you know? And once you get into the right environment, then those things come out. And it's you just yielding that to the Lord, you know, and just allowing God to use. We got future song leaders here that don't even know that they've been called to be a song leader. Amen. Right? We might have future deacons here that don't even realize that they've been called to be a deacon. Trustees that don't realize they've been called to be a trustee. Amen. Right? I mean, they already in the church. It's just cultivating the gifts and then allowing them to go forth. We got future singers here. Amen. Anointed singers that will bring the house down, tear the devil's kingdom down. Songwriters here. Musicians here. It's all right here. Praise God, right? But it's people being able to yield to what God is calling them to. And we preached that a few years ago. That was our theme, yielding to the perfect will of God. Right, and that's ultimately what God is trying to do, get you to just yield. Let me I want to finish this chapter, but I'm gonna get caught in something here, and I have to say it, so because I might not remember to say it when I get to it later. But the next verse says this: Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And I just love this verse. A brother had shared this with me years ago. And this is a verse that I use often when I'm talking to people and they make a statement like this. Yeah, that was just Brother Branham's opinion. I guess some of y'all heard that one too. And I like to use this because this is a prophet that we're dealing with, the prophet Samuel. And as Samuel grew, the Bible tells us that the Lord was with him. And here's the thing. We can see from a child that the Lord was with Samuel. We can see from a child that God was giving him visitations. We can also see, as we read this story, that from a child, Brother Branham was getting visitations. There was a verse there that said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You know, before Brother Branham knew the Lord, he was having visions. Before he actually repented, he was having, God was dealing with that man before he even became a Christian. God was dealing with Samuel before he became a Christian. God was with the man, especially in Brother Branham's condition, from birth. God was with the man from birth, right? And oftentimes what I find is that, you know, people like to use that statement that was his opinion, especially when they want to do something that might go against his opinion. I'm going to say that again. People like to use that statement that was just his opinion, especially when they're going to do something that goes against the prophet's opinion. Just remember, as a prophet, God didn't let not one word fall to the ground. God didn't let it. We might let it. We might let that word fall to the ground, but God didn't let one word fall to the ground. It's very important that we take what a prophet said. I want to encourage the parents, teach your kids what the prophet said. Play the tapes for them. Let them hear what the prophet said, and let them govern their lives according to what that prophet taught us. I'm telling you, it will help you. It'll help you, right? But it's important that you understand. Don't fall for that trap. Because see, when the devil can get you to start reasoning with some of the word, then he can kind of get you in some areas. But understand, when Samuel grew, the Lord was with him and didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. None. That's a prophet for you. That's the office of a prophet for you. Extremely, extremely important. Here, verse 21 says, and the Lord appeared again. I'm sorry, verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Everybody knew this man was a prophet. Everybody knew it. It's the same thing with Brother Branham's ministry. So many people all over the world, seven times, these people knew a prophet was in their midst. They knew it. So many supernatural things happen, y'all. I'm reminded, let me just finish reading this, and then I'll come back to something real quick. Verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I'm reminded of a time where Brother Branham was invited to go to Africa. And when he went, there was two men that were, you know, waiting for him. And one, there were two friends, and one said, I think he had a dream or something like that. And in the dream, he saw Brother Branham smoking a cigarette. And he thought to himself, no, I can't listen to this man. I mean, he's not even living right. You know, he's smoking a cigarette. The Lord showed it to him, and he felt the Lord showed it to him. So his friend was like, no, he's a man of God. No, that ain't true. He's a man of God. So the man was, you know, pretty adamant about, no, I'm not going to go. Well, as he was deciding not to go to the meetings, Brother Branham was coming. All of a sudden, that man got a visitation by an angel of the Lord, and the angel Lord pretty much encouraged him, you know, you need to go and be a part of those meetings. So after he got this visitation, he went and told his friend that, you know, something told me that I need to be a part of his meetings. And when he got a visitation, like something touched him on his shoulder. So when he went and told his friend that what had happened, and he was turning to walk away from the friend looked on his back, and a handprint was on the man's back. And if I recall correctly, I'm telling this all by memory right now. If I recall correctly, I think it was Brother Branham's handprint that was on that man's back. And Brother Branham's just telling the man, said, the reason that you saw in your dream me smoking a cigarette, it was something I was supposed to do for the Lord, and I didn't do it. It was my disobedience that you saw. Not sin, it was disobedience, my God. But, you know, I'm just saying that God vindicated his prophet in so many ways. We know it was God speaking. So be careful when you hear people use that statement, that was just his opinion. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'd rather take a prophet's opinion over my own opinion. I'm gonna be honest with you. Reason being, I ain't vindicated like that. God has proven himself to be with that prophet in more ways than one. I ain't vindicated like that. So I just don't want to take a chance in front of God by just saying that's his opinion. No. The prophet Samuel, God didn't let not one word fall to the ground. Not one. Think about it. All right. Amen. All right. Let's look at a few quotes on this, and I know I'll go as far as I can. I know we won't finish this tonight. But here is the message, hear his voice. And again, like I was saying, you have these different spectrums of people. Some that they don't understand the voice of God when they do hear it. They don't know what to do with it when they hear it. And some, like I like to say, some God actually sent. Others just got up and went. You want to be one that God sent, and you want to be able to kind of go back to, you know, experiences that you've had with God before you just get up and do something, you know, on your own. Just don't do that. And I tell anybody vying, doing everything they can to be a pastor of a church, they have no idea what they're signing up for. They don't realize what they're signing up for. I'm telling you the truth. Trust me when I say that. God got to almost rope you into something. And you'll see, I mean, just all kind of things going, seem like everything going wrong in your life. But actually, it's all going right in your life. My God. I don't even know where. I'm trying to get into something here. But it's things are coming to me while I'm standing here. I don't know who it was recently. Last week I was talking to the brothers about when the Lord was calling me into ministry. I didn't even know I was being called. I didn't even know. I was going through a lot, and spiritually, you know, I'll say I was just going through a lot, and I just didn't, I didn't understand why my world was just being turned upside down. I thought I found my place as a song leader, and I was very satisfied being in that place. Very, very satisfied. But things just began to change, and I couldn't understand why the changes was happening. like my whole world was just being ripped apart. And I'm like, man, something, you know, a lot going on, and I can't get it. I just don't get it. So, you know, I got to a point, it was just so bad for me that it was hard for me to actually go to church, you know, without carrying what I had in front of the people. It was just real hard, and I never wanted to be up and say something. I never even wanted to do nothing to try to persuade people to move in a different direction than what I was moving. I've never been that way. But I remember just going through some things, and there was a couple of services that I missed. And I didn't actually miss. I had already told my pastor that I wasn't going to be coming back, but I didn't know what I was going to be doing. I had no idea. And I remember going one night to a cousin's house. He's a retired Methodist minister. And I went to his house to fix his computer one night. And as I was there fixing the computer, he began to ask me, okay, how was church yesterday? I said, well, I didn't go to church yesterday. And he says, oh, okay, all right, no problem. He said, how was church last week? I didn't go to church last week. He says, oh, okay. He says, okay, all right, He said, okay, Jack, the Lord is calling you to ministry. Wait a minute. I didn't even go to church for the last couple of weeks, and you're sitting here telling me that the Lord's calling me to ministry? I'm like, no. He says, yeah, the Lord is calling you to ministry. I said, what? And he began to just walk through this whole testimony of how him and his wife used to go to Suncoast High School and have service, and there were times that they would go to school, set up the school, and the only people showed up that day for church was him and his wife. And he would just preach his heart out to his wife and then just break the school back down and leave and go home. And he's sitting there telling me all this, and I'm like, wow, you did all that. I didn't know that was, I never knew, you know, that you did, you know, all these things. And he just going, just, I mean, he had me there until 1 o'clock in the morning, just going up one thing to the next thing. And finally, he told his wife what was going on. He said, Jack being called to ministry, you know. And he said, I want you to get your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1 and start read. And they sat there, and she would read the first verse, and then he would preach that verse to me. And then she'd read the second verse, then he'd preach the second verse. And I sat there in that house that night, and I knew I was hearing the voice of God. It was not my cousin, it was not his wife, but I knew through those lips was coming the voice of God to me. When I left that house, I was mesmerized. Because I see what happens is God will use sources that you never expect. But before I left that house, he said, Jack, I want you to come preach for me. I said, I just told you, I ain't been to church in a couple of weeks, and now you asked me to come preach. I said, I gave him the Christian no. Y'all know that Christian no. I gave it to him. I'll pray about it. He said, okay, you pray about it. I'll be calling you soon. He gave me a few weeks, coming back, Jack, when you coming to preach for me? I said, Finally, he pinpointed, put me on the calendar, and said, you coming on this day to preach. I had no idea what I was going to do. Methodist church. And I went in and preached, you must be born again. And, you know, and I'm thinking after I left that church service, I thought I said everything wrong in that sermon. I thought everything I said was wrong because I was feeling all this weight on my shoulder. So I called him back to apologize for even what I preached. And he said, oh, you're just a young preacher. You don't have to apologize about nothing. You did a great job. And I couldn't understand what the weight was then. But today I understand what the weight is. The weight at that time was the weight of the people that I would have to be carrying, right? As a pastor, I have to be carrying the weight of the people. So, you know, I thought that was it. Mother's Day came around, and his church said, we want your cousin to come back and preach on Mother's Day. I said, your church asked me to come back and preach? I said, yes. And that day I went back, and I went back with a few saints with me. And we preached the sermon, Give It, Keep It. Keep it, lose it. We had a wonderful time. It's something about recognizing when God is actually calling you. And it's also something when you have a person in your life that could actually help you recognize it, like Samuel had Eli. Could help him recognize God's calling you. And what you need to do is yield to that call. Oh my. Let's read a little bit here tonight. The sermon, Hear His Voice. Brother Branham says, and let me also just say, because I know a lot of times when we talk about hearing God's voice, sometimes we feel like it might be related only to things in the church. Sometimes God can speak to you about things in your business, things in your home, and you have to recognize it's the voice of God that's speaking to you in that situation. Amen. Now, to you, let's turn in scriptures to 1 Samuel, the third chapter. This is how it reads, the first 10 verses. For the first 10 verses, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, I like to read this part of the quote. Brother Branham was just reading the scripture, but oftentimes you'll get the prophet's commentary. It's inside the reading of the scripture. Watch, it says, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Oh, how I would like to dwell there for a minute. Says maybe some other time. It just strikes me. Let me just read it once again, that verse. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, for there was no open vision. And then Brother Branham's commentary. See what a vision is, Dan? It's the direct word of the Lord, and the Lord's word was precious. You want to know why I'm here on Wednesday night? Because the Lord's word is precious. The reason I come on Sunday morning is because the Lord's word is precious. Anytime the church doors open, I want to be there because the Lord's word is precious. Amen, amen, amen. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli, and he said, Here am I, for the Lord, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and laid down, and the Lord called yet again, and Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. I'll keep reading here. But I love this, how we can see here in scripture that God can call even somebody very young to use them. God can call someone very young. We just had Brother Andrew Glover come through and preach for us a couple Wednesdays ago. And Brother Andrew started preaching at the age of 13. He started preaching at the age of 13. And he's 30, 28, 29. Yeah, 29. So he's been preaching 16 years already. Now, not every preacher start at 13. And I will say this, amen. Just because he started at 13 don't mean we need a lot of Andrew Glovers coming along. Right? I mean, it's something about the environment that you're in that just kind of brings you along. But like Brother Branham even talked about how there was a boy preacher in his day, and the boy was doing very good. He says, but soon as Other denominations saw this boy preacher. Everybody had to get themselves a little boy preacher. That's not what we want to do. I've seen that happen in church. I've seen, this one is in this position, and then we'll get an in-law in this position, and then we'll get this, and then somebody else go try to set up the same exact thing, and it just does not work. What we need to do is just wait on the Lord to kind of put people where they're supposed to be. Amen.
Amen.
God will put all the pieces together. And look, I'm going to tell you, one was cut and honed over here a certain way. One was cut and honed a certain way over here. But when this temple comes together, man, every piece just fit right smack together. Just let God do it. Let God do it. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't encourage a whole bunch of Andrew Glovers, because and I will say this, when I say environment, he was in Tennessee. It was totally different. Everything's different. That's all I can tell you. If you ever go visit, you'll see what I mean. Stay there for a month or two. Go from church to church to church. You'll see it's different in Tennessee than it is in Florida. Amen. Environment got a lot to do with your success. There are certain places you can go and that might work. Amen. I'm going to go a little further with that. Even when it comes to young people, your decisions after you leave high school, whatever you decide to do, that's totally up to you. But I will tell you that a young lady, while she's waiting on the Lord to send her husband, ain't nothing wrong with her going to school and getting an education. Amen. That's going to be important in South Florida. Because in order for you to compete for a job, if you're going to fill out job applications and go get them, in order for you to compete for the job that's paying the top dollar, you're going to need some experience, you're going to need some education, you're going to need something to be able to compete with. Otherwise, if you want to start your own business or something like that, the Lord can bless that too. But you're going to need some ambition in South Florida. I mean, there's other states. You don't need as much ambition. You can do a lot of little things and get by. Amen. Rent up there might be $700, $800. You know, get yourself a two-bedroom, two-bath, $800, $900, $1,000. Come to South Florida. That two-bedroom, two-bath, $2,200, $2,300. Amen. It's the truth, anyhow.
Yeah.
And that's rent.
Yeah.
Amen. And look, and so, oh Lord, I'm trying to get here. But here's the thing, and I'm gonna tell you, you don't have to leave South Florida to be blessed. You know, I remember when I bought my first house. Man, we couldn't get approved, but just for so much. And we got our approval, and we saw a house that we really, really liked. And we went to we put a bid in on that house. And the man said no. Because I think the man was selling his house for, let's say, 105, and we was only approved for 101. $4,000, you know, off. And so our first bid was like 96 or 97 or something like that. And that man said, no, we ain't taking it. So the next bid, we come in at 99. The man said, no, we ain't taking it. But we knew all we had was 101. That was it. So we had to wait. We waited. Few days, few weeks go by, and when the weeks go by, then all of a sudden, our realtor called and said, "Okay, y'all want to look at something else?" And well, our hearts are really on this. We agree, both of us like this house, and we want to do that. So that man has said no twice. Until y'all come with a full price offer, y'all know y'all not gonna get that house. And I said, "Look here, offer this man one more time." You know, this, And we're going to give him 101 for it and just give him that. I say, if he says no to this, then we will not return to this house again. It's over with. It's done. Third time. Done. So he said, y'all sure? So, yep, we're sure. He got on the phone and he called and says, my clients are offering 101, you know, for your house. And and all we could hear him say is, you take it? Okay, I'll get the paperwork going right away. That's all we could hear. And we just high-fiving each other underneath the table. But God had made a way, right? But we were standing on the scripture. Deuteronomy 28 says, you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed when you come. You'll be blessed when you go. And I was just standing on that, and when the Lord showed it to me about being blessed in the city, what he quickened to me is like, you're going to be blessed in the city in which you live in. You ain't got to move to go to no other city to get your blessing. You're going to be blessed in the city in which you live in. Amen. And you know what? God has proven himself to me. But you got to be able to hear his voice and stand on it, you know, when he speaks to you. It's another place where you want to hear the voice of God. Read his word, because he'll speak through his word to you. All right, let me move on here. Here, Brother Branham says, and hear his voice. He says, the voice of God, hearing his voice in that day was a rare thing. See, there was no open vision. It says it was a rare thing, the real voice of God, because the people had gotten away. They had a church in that day that just didn't follow the commandments of the Lord. They had a minister by the name of Eli, and he got away from God by just teaching the precepts of what the people wanted to believe. It says, if that isn't parallel to this day, he just taught the people, and he took his choice ones, and he had his sons to take the best of the flesh from the hooks out of the offering. Now, Brother Branham just kind of made a comment there about he had his sons do that. Right, now when you read in the Bible, it looked like his boys just kind of did this on their own. But here, prophet saying he had his sons do that. All right. Right, he says, and he had his sons to take the best of the flesh from the hooks out of the offering and just become a place where the offering was the main thing. Now, y'all know this ain't nothing but the truth. I done seen people ready to leave a church because of the offering. And like I told y'all, I just remember, and I prayed it would just never end up in this position, but I remember it just felt so bad. It seemed like every year at tax return time, we needed a special offering. And you know how it is. I'm just getting a hold of a little piece of money. And I got something in my mind that I really want to do. But when I hear about that offering, my heart go towards that. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Those of you that were at the business meeting, there was something showed to y'all, and I don't know if everybody caught it, but it was said and it was showed. If everybody just met that budgetary number that we had up there, and everybody do whatever they part to meet that budgetary, that number, we talk about meeting it even in October and June and August, just July. If we meet that number every month, if we meet that number every month, just an offering, nobody would have to give a special offering for meetings. I want y'all to hear what I'm saying. If we met that number that we set up there every month, nobody would have to give a special offering for meetings. And that's putting us at a different level, right? That puts us at a different level. And that's here. Now, when we get our own building, we might have to set a different number, but if we Let's get to where let's get here now. And let's be comfortable there now. Praise God. Because you let me just tell you, if you don't know this yet, if you don't know this already, you don't know it. You don't know it yet. But I'm announce it before it happened. You getting ready to get a raise.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You getting ready to get a raise. Praise God. All right. It says it become a place where the offering was the main thing. It says, and Samuel just careless about the way that he handled the commandments of the Lord, and the real word of God was a rare thing. That's the way it is today. We go to church and we find the people going in and having some great drive on. We want to make our denomination this year so many more. Bring your letter from your other church and unite with us, and slogans like a million more and 44, and all such as that, crying, trying to outgrow the next denomination. And doing so, we've let the bars down of the Bible. We got away and began to teach different things. So as the prophet spoke of these days, that when they for teaching would teach the man's doctrine and not God's doctrine. We've seen so much of that, and it's gone on so long until today the word of the Lord is a rare thing. And what Brother Branham is saying here is so accurate. I think I told you all about me going to a funeral, and my cousin, his daughter, had passed away in a very tragic car accident. And we had 1,000 people come into that gymnasium for a service, and they selected this man to preach. And that man had a big old Bible, boy. He was standing there, and he had it like that. He carried it like that. You know, I'm thinking, boy, he gonna preach. Boy, he gonna say something. And he got up there, put his Bible down, never even read it, and just looked at the audience and said, some things I just don't understand. I don't understand why a white cow, a brown cow, would eat green grass and produce white milk. I don't understand. Went to his seat. And you know what the people left there and said? Man, he preached. The word of the Lord is a rare thing. I mean, a very rare thing. People don't hear God's word anymore. And if you ever find yourself in a church where they ain't reading the word to preach from the word, you might want to exit. And, you know, if you're visiting and you have family there or something, just let them know, I don't think I'll be back until y'all start reading the Bible. Amen. Amen. It says the prophets spoke of these days that when they for teaching would teach man's doctrine and not God's doctrine, and we've seen so much of that. And it's going on so long till today the word of the Lord is a rare thing that someone can come and say, thus saith the Lord. And we've had a lot of impersonations of that. Satan is really on the job. And many years gone by, people were afraid to say that unless it was the Lord. Now that's the way it used to be. People was afraid to actually use thus saith the Lord. They reverenced that. They knew that it had to really be God speaking through them before they just used terms like that. When I find someone that's too loose in using thus saith the Lord, or actually not I don't, sometimes it's not just thus saith the Lord, it's the Lord told me. If I find somebody too loose in using that term, the Lord told me. The Lord told me. And I'm talking about every week. Oh, Lord. I mean, and it's like, wait a minute. Last week, you think I forgot what you said last week? You told me the Lord said this about a certain situation. Now all of a sudden, wait a minute. God don't change his mind like that. Now, you can't be blaming everything on God. The Lord didn't say it. The Lord didn't say it. And when you call them out like that, they're going to stop calling you and telling you what the Lord said. Amen. Well, we got to put people back in their place. You know, in the Old Testament, you would die with something like that. You'd be stoned. They wouldn't put up with it. And that's why your gift would be, it won't be received, you know, because it's not under control. Amen. All right. He says we had a lot of impersonations. Satan is really under the job. Many years gone by, people are afraid to say it unless it was the Lord. But today, they just don't care. But it's a rare thing to hear the voice of the Lord and to find a person that can say, the Lord spoke to me. So you notice that amongst the people anymore, that they hardly hear a time that when they say, the Lord spoke to me. When men and women used to pray all night and their homes were set in order by the book of the Lord and God was in their home. I'm just mention this because Brother Branham, again, spot on. You don't find too many people that can tell you the Lord spoke to me. You don't find too many people that can say that. And I know of two specific incidents that I would call out where I know God specifically spoke to me. And certainly it's changed my life. The first one was I was at home. I used to have the newspaper delivered to my house on a daily basis. And the first thing I wanted to do, since I didn't have a TV, I wanted to read the sports page in the newspaper so I can kind of be ahead on what's going on sports. So if the guys start talking about it on the job, at least I know what they were talking about. I had the sports page. One day I went down there to pick up that sports page to read it, and the voice of the Lord actually spoke to me and said, if you read your Bible as faithful as you read that newspaper, you'd be much further up the road. I still remember what he told me. If you read your Bible as faithful as you read that newspaper, you'd be much further up the road. I knew it was not the devil speaking to me, because the devil would not encourage me to read the Bible. So this is the voice of the Lord. And from that day to here, I've been in a one-year Bible reading plan. So you can count, possibly, you can estimate in your mind how many years I have read the Bible all the way through. I'll put it this way. I don't even know. I think it's over 20 years. That's what I think it is. It's over 20 years reading the Bible through over and over. Right? And when he told me I'd be much further the road, I didn't realize at that time I'll be teaching the Bible. But this started way back before I even start pastoring like this. This started way back then that God told me that. Another specific time that God I know spoke to me is when he gave me the name of this church. Because I was reading my Bible and I read John 15 and I read about how a tree can be bringing forth fruit, but even in the midst of bringing forth fruit, that tree has to go through a purging or a pruning process in order for it to bring forth more fruit. And that was at the time that I told you earlier, I was satisfied with my role in the church. But then when I read that scripture, it's like, okay, Lord, because now I'm not going to church anymore, and I don't know what, my life is just upside down. But hearing the word of God, it showed me, said, no. I have to purge so that it can bring forth more fruit. I have to be cut away. I have to go through a purging process so out of my life, God can get more fruit. Well, what was the more fruit? Pastoring. That was for me. See? But I had to go through that process. So when I saw that in scripture, I said, okay, Lord, I got it. I got to see why I'm going through what I'm going through. You read the Bible, it'll help you with whatever trial you're going in. So you run across something like, oh, there it is, right? But I'm like, okay, Lord, I got it. We went to a meeting. Brother comes out, preaches the first service. Brother Dave Musgrove was the one that preached. And he reads, turn to John 15. I said, Lord, what getting ready to happen here? Read the same scriptures that I just, and I want to say like weeks before I got to the meeting, the Lord put that in my spirit. And here he comes and he says, I want to title my sermon, Fruit, Much Fruit, More Fruit. I say, oh, this is a sermon for me. And as he started preaching, I sat there and started praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I get it. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you calling me. I realize it's you, God. Just like Samuel hearing the voice of God. I'm sitting there in that service. Lord, I hear you. I said, okay, God, what you want me to name the church? And at that moment, I'm talking about God spoke immediately. I wrote it down. He said, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. I didn't even know nothing about nothing. But when he gave me that title, I knew what that, I'm going to tell you, the name of our church is the name God gave it. It's not even Brother Jack. Brother Jack didn't even think of that one. God gave that. At that moment that I was sitting in that service, God gave that to me. All I did was write it down. I didn't even share it with my wife. My wife didn't know until 2 years later. 2 years later, we were talking about having to do something and think we're gonna have to, start a church. And by that time, God had dealt with her in so many ways. And she's like, okay, all right. She's like, what are we gonna name the church? I say, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. How you know that? So I said, well, let me tell you the story. 2 years ago, the Lord said this, then did this, and did that, and did this. And I couldn't say nothing until he actually dealt with you. But she was right on the same page with me. But hearing the voice of God is a rare thing. But I can tell you there have been a couple times in my life that I know I've heard directly from God. Amen. Every time you preach a sermon, you're also hearing from God. Right? But it's a little different. When you kind of getting a sermon together and when you picking up a newspaper and saying, if you read your Bible as faithfully as you read that newspaper, you'll be much further up the road. Then you know it's time to put down the newspaper and read your Bible. And the more fruit that even come out of that is that, since God took me through that journey and I shared and I talked to encourage other people about going on this 1 year Bible reading plan, others, even right here in our midst, have read their Bibles for many years because of what God took me through. People outside of this church have joined the journey and read their Bibles because of what God took me through. That's more fruit. Let's pray. Father, the word is real. Sometimes we can take moments and look at what we're reading in scripture. It's not historic events. The Lord, it's present tense events. These are things that we go through or going through, and you still speak to people. You still call. You still use men. You still use women. You still do these things. But we have to get ourselves to a place where we're sensitive enough to be able to hear your voice. God, we're trusting that we can slow things down in our life, that we can hear the voice of God speak to us. For me, you brought correction, and I'm glad you did it because it's not only helped me, but it's helped so many others. And just whatever way you desire to speak to us, that's what we want. So, Lord, I pray that you would just not let this be a lesson that just kind of goes in one ear and out the other, but, Lord, let us be mindful that you really do want to talk to us. Father, we really want to listen. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's, just the announcements. So Sunday morning, prayer will be from 9 to 10. Service is at 10:30. And want to encourage one of my brothers. Usually I try to get here on Sunday mornings, I try to get here by 9 so I can start playing the music, because Sister Zelma be here, y'all. She be here. She get here. I can't tell you what time she get here, because I thought I was going to beat her a couple weeks ago. I got here 10 minutes to 9, 8:50. Sister Zelma was inside the church. I said, Lord, I don't know what time she arrived. 8:30, 8? I don't know, but she be here. But I try to get here to get the music, but this Sunday I'll be traveling, so just any one of the brothers that can get here to get the music started for her, that would be greatly appreciated. Also, service will be at 10:30, Sunday school 9:30 to 10. For our youth and young adults, streaming continues through Facebook and our church website, john423.org. Our upcoming event, we'll be having our corporate fast. That's going to start February 23rd and go through March 15th. And again, just asking everyone just to join us however the Lord would lead you in your fasting. Just join us during that time. Ultimately, we just want to see each person draw closer to the Lord during that time of fasting. All right. Our giving is through Cash App, PayPal, Zelle. Oh. And that's going to, our preferred method is Zelle, but if you have to use PayPal or Cash App, the information is there. Zelle and PayPal is giving at john423.org. Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT. And if those that want to mail in an offering, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462. And that's West Palm Beach, Florida. Upcoming meetings there. And actually, there's a couple I need to also announce. So this is June 5th through 8th, Jesus Christ Tabernacle, the Youth and Family Camp, June 5th through 8th. And the registration is now open. You can go to the website, jctcamp.com. Also, Brother Bernard is having his annual meetings that he has informed us of. And that is, I think, the third weekend in March. It's a Friday night. Okay, that sounds right. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, I think those are the services. But that's gonna be that weekend. And I know that he has, his two speakers will be Brother Mike Toussaint, Pastor Mike Toussaint, here at Rapture and Faith Tabernacle, and also Brother Joseph Chikosi. So he'll be using both of those ministers for his meetings, and that's coming up the third weekend in March. And so keep that in mind. And then for us, you all know our meeting will be coming up in the end of July. So that's something that we'll start preparing for. I was asked to do a night of worship on our first service for our meetings. So if that is to occur, we're gonna have to start having rehearsals and things of that nature to get ready for that night of worship. That'll be on a Friday night that we'll do a night of worship. And I was just mentioning to some brothers the reason I do it, because that'll be the first service in the scripture. The army, before they went to battle, they put the singers out front. And that's what gave them victory in the battle, right? So I was telling somebody that when we're having a meeting, we won't put a night of worship in between the services, because the singing is not the the reason that we're gathering. The word is the reason why we're gathering. So the word would be going forth, but we will have a time that we can do some worship, and that'll be the very first service. So, and I know I've been getting text messages about getting the South Florida Choir back together, and like, are we gonna sing? Are we gonna do this? Like, yeah, so I'll let everybody know. We'll start trying to get this on the schedule for some rehearsals so that we'll be ready for a night of worship there for our meetings. All right. Yes. Okay. All right. So we, was that up there? Did I miss it? Okay. All right. So we have a birthday. I understand it's Sister Aaliyah's birthday today. And we're going to sing happy birthday to Sister Aaliyah. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Aaliyah. Happy birthday to you. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for our precious sister. Thank God for giving her another year. I got a prayer request. We'll save this to the end. But do we have any praise reports or prayer requests that want to be mentioned? Okay, I see a hand over here.
God bless you, saints. I'm requesting prayer for the Hopkins son-in-law. His name is Stuart. He had a stroke, and he's having surgery tomorrow. And the surgery is supposed to last between 3 and 5 hours. At this time, his speech is very slurred. He has blood on his brain. And his parents, which are the Hopkins in-laws, they're really concerned. So I told them I would request prayer for them.
Okay, all right. Anybody else? Okay.
God bless you. So today we had got a lot of hay for our horses, and we were taking some of it down. And in my dad's trailer, there's like two spaces that don't have wood, and like there's like holes, like huge holes. And I had fell in one of the holes, and the way my leg had fell, because if it was on the other side of the hole, like it would have been like bent and it would have hurt a lot, but it fell on the other side of the hole, so it just gave me like a little scratch. And even the little things, like I felt like God was there, you know? He had to keep me safe.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I just want to ask you all to continue to keep my brother Lim in prayer. He's currently in the hospital now, just having a lot of fluids drained off of his body. And I spoke with him this afternoon, and he's saying it's beginning to get a little bit better with this walking. And I'm just praying that God give our family a miracle that he can really use to draw our unsaved loved ones to him.
Amen. All right.
And
all right.
My brother Lim.
God bless you. Please pray for my students and their families. Some of them are beginning to experience the effects of the ice coming to their homes. And we had a lot of students out Monday, and it seems like ice was in their neighborhood, and the kids were afraid, and when we asked them what was wrong, just asking them, you know, why you come to school. One boy was really upset, and he was like, I'm from Honduras. I don't want to go back. I love America, and, you know, this is affecting our kids, so just pray for our kids and their families.
Anybody else? Okay.
Oh. God bless. I just solicited your prayers. Makes two times a day that Brother Jack has said something that's really struck home for me. In the brother's chat today, he texts, it's usually when, you know, the things look like they're going wrong, when God, the supernatural happens.
Amen.
And right now, you know, it just seems like I have a lot going on, but at the same time, an opportunity has presented itself for the third time. Hmm. And I've applied for it once again, and it's the first time I didn't apply, because when it came available, I was like, I don't want to do that. And then the second time I applied, I applied, but they didn't even give me a response. They just let it ride. I'm like, okay. So this time I applied, and they switched our region where I got a new area district manager. And immediately I applied yesterday for it, and within an hour she called me and said, I got to apply. I see that you applied. We'll be talking soon. Mm-hmm. And Brother Jack just said, you about to get a raise. So for me to sit back here on this, I wouldn't be doing God no justice. So I just solicit y'all prayers, and I just thank God for being forever present in my life.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. We certainly thank God for all that he's doing. And I have a prayer request, and Brother Troy asked for us to pray for Sister Tanya, and we're going to do that tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, also, I solicit, Sister Erica and I solicit prayer. And also, don't forget, Brother Willie will be traveling this weekend. We have to travel this weekend for a marriage conference that we'll be doing again in South Carolina. And my desire, I didn't get a chance to say this on Friday night, but my desire, this conference that we're doing in South Carolina, I actually want to bring it back to West Palm Beach the latter part of the year, maybe September. October time frame, that I desire to bring it back here to our area. We are kind of doing a dual conference with Brother Jonathan and Sister Sarah. It's something that I'm really looking forward to, but I don't want to just take it and go other places with it. I want to do something right here with us. So latter part of the year, and we're going to try to get these things on the calendar so that people can make plans accordingly. As Brother Sim was saying, sometimes we're only giving y'all 1 and 2 weeks, you know, to plan for things, but we want to put it on the calendar so people can plan. It won't just be for our church, but it'll be for other couples here in the area. I even had people outside of our church that's not even in the message have been asking, y'all do anything for marriages? Y'all do anything for marriages? And like, yeah, we do, you know, and I think it's important because that's when you got strong marriages, you have a strong church. That's the way it usually works out. So, but keep us in prayers. We head that way this weekend, and then the following weekend I have to head to Indiana for my son-in-law. He's turning 30, and we're celebrating him. So we'll be away for a couple weekends. But available via telephone if anyone needs us, and looking forward to just a little itty bitty break. But we thank God for all things, so keep us in prayer with the traveling. And I know other saints will be traveling this weekend. I know Brother Solomon has to travel this weekend, and you know, and some other saints will be traveling next weekend. So a lot be going on, and you know, so let's just keep one another in prayer. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are coming in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the testimony that we heard and how you protected Sister Linda. It could have been so much worse than a scratch. But God, you were there watching over our sister so that the enemy would not get any victory, and we thank you for that. We have a number of prayer requests, Father, that that are before us, and we want to just mention them. Our sister Tanya needs a touch in her body. Her husband, Lord, just felt to put this request in on behalf of his wife, and you know the condition. You know everything that she's facing, and we know that you are a healer, and you have proven that to her multiple times. So God, this that she's facing now is, Lord, also able to be overcome. And we pray, God, that you would give her victory in her body. May her body come in line with her confession of you as a healer. We also want to remember Stuart, who had a stroke and has to go for surgery tomorrow. His parents are very concerned. In-laws are very concerned about him. But we pray, Lord, that you would just be a shield and you would be his protection, and that you would raise him up. And I remember your prophet praying one time for a man that had a stroke. The prophet asked that you would reverse the conditions of the stroke. So, Lord, we ask the same thing on behalf of Stuart, that you would reverse the conditions of the stroke. You are more than capable of doing that. So we commit him right now into your hands and trust, Lord, that you would bring healing. We also ask for healing for Brother Lim, who's in the hospital and dealing with different issues, oh God. And as his sister said, standing in the gap, that she's believing that somehow through your miraculous touch that this would be an opportunity to bring others closer to you. So, Lord, we pray that you would use it for your glory and that you would go there to the room where Lim is. God, this he has been a blessing to many of us here in this church, fixing our cars and doing it at a discounted rate. Remember what he's done for your people, Lord, and may you return, oh God, and give him the touch in his body that he needs. We depend on you, God. And, Father, we also want to remember this opportunity for Brother Garen. God, you bring us here. We don't know what each one's going through, but you'll speak things under the inspiration. And God, we just believe that you speak right to our situations, our conditions. And Lord, we're claiming this is the third time that this position has come open. Father, may you, Lord, bless our brother abundantly. May you do the exceeding abundant above all he can ask or think. And Lord, may you just use it for your glory and for your honor, Lord, as he's applied for it. Father, we ask that you give him favor. And we also want to remember Sister Tina's students and their families. Our nation is going through tremendous changes. Little children are in fear. They're in fear, God. And Lord, they don't understand all of these things. But God, we ask that you would give them a calm and a peace, and that you would just direct them through the situation. And, you know, even maybe an opportunity for Sister Tina just to be able to share with some of them. And Lord, and even if they want prayer, that they could go to her and ask for prayer. Or, Father, something, oh God, that would just help them during the season. And it's not just them, there's many around us, Lord, that are facing different things and just so unsure of what's going to happen. But God, only you can provide the people the peace that they need. You give peace that passeth all understanding. And you told us that it would guide our hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And I know, God, you have people that have feelings on both sides of it. But Lord, you are the one ultimately in control. So we want to commit all things into your capable hands, and that you, Lord Jesus, would just move on behalf of this nation. That you would, Lord, just keep us peaceful with one another, and Lord, that we would be able to just endure this time of change. We pray, God, for traveling mercies for many of the saints that would be traveling this weekend. Remember Brother Smiley as he's going out to preach the gospel. Lord, use him for your glory there in Arkansas. And as we head up towards South Carolina for service and a conference, Lord, we just ask that you would just bless all that we set our hands to do. Bless the saints as we're away. And may you keep each and every one, Father, in your capable care. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss us. Amen. And, like I said, we'll be leaving tomorrow, and so we'll be away for a couple weeks. But if you all need us, please don't hesitate to call. Amen. God bless you.